we're going to continue in the Great Faith Adventure. We've been going through this, and so one of the first weeks that we talked about, we were in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and we looked at two heroes of the faith. Anybody remember their name? Okay, we're going to have to preach that one again, because apparently nobody remembers their name. So Enoch was one. Who's the other one? Abel. All right. I heard Abel, right? Pretending I'm going to hear Abel. Abel and Enoch, so they were men of faith, and Abel and Enoch, his faith was just steadfast, and he walked with the Lord for 365 years. That's a long time. And then it says that the Lord just took him. He didn't experience death or anything like that. And then we learn of Abel, how he gave a more acceptable offering unto the Lord versus his brother Cain. And so he had the bragging rights in the family for a little while anyway, until Cain killed him. But nonetheless, and so we find these heroes of the faith. And then last week, we talked about how there are rewards for your faith, that God rewards those who have faith in him. In that that faith causes us to believe in him was one of the points. And also that faith causes us to seek him. Amen. The more faith that you have, the more you want to know him, the more that you want to know God. How many guys are just, you know, you just want to know more and more of God? Amen. I'm like, you've tasted, you've seen, and you're like, man, God is good. I just want more of God. So today, this one, Brother McKinley says this all the time. He says, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And so I'm actually going to use that as my title in a roundabout way. A faith that is tested can be trusted. So I'm with a little twist. A faith that is tested can be trusted. How many of you guys know, man, our faith will be tested. The Bible doesn't say whenever you come to Christ that everything's going to be rosy and peachy and you won't go through anything. On the contrary, it says you will have tribulations. You will have testings. And one of the greatest people of faith that we find in the Bible who went through a tremendous test is the man Abraham. And so we're going to look at Abraham's life today, look at the test that he had to endure, and see how we too can, yes, our faith will be tested, but we can come through on the other side of this. Amen? So we're in the book. First, we're going to start in the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at the Hebrews account in chapter 11, verse 17 through 19. And it says this, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Now, Abraham's test was a test that most of us probably could not handle. Abraham was asked to do something that seems to be contradictory to the promise that he received. Whenever God told Abraham in Genesis, he tells him what he was going to promise him. In fact, let me just read it for you. In Genesis 17, we're going to start with 17, verse 7 through 8. And it says, this is God speaking to Abraham. He says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. So quite a few things were promised just in this one verse. First of all, that Abraham would have offspring, and at this moment, he did not have any offspring. If you remember the story, he tries to go about it in a different way. He tries to, whenever he's seen that it was not happening, his wife Sarah says, hey, take my servant and go into her and have a son with her. This is man's way of trying to bring about God's promise. And as we see, God did not choose Ishmael. God had a better plan. He says, no, Ishmael is not the one. And so he tells Abraham in verse 18, he says, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, there's something about a covenant. There's something about a marriage covenant that God will bless. Amen. And there's something about man's efforts that he will not bless. So he says, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. So God says, Isaac's the one. You don't see it yet, Abraham. He's coming. Your son is coming. I know it's impossible for you to believe because you're an old man, and even in the book of Hebrews, he was even considered as dead. And so he's well into his 90s, approaching 100 years old. And that's pretty old, right? I mean, how many guys, like at 100, you're like, you know what? I think it's time for me to start a family at 100 years old. You know what? I'm full of life, right? I'm hoping to be that, right? I don't even know if I'm going to live to 100. But, I mean, anyway, Abraham, though he was good as dead, he believed in the promises of God. Amen. And so he knew that Isaac was going to be the one, that God had promised through Isaac he would have many descendants. Through Isaac, Isaac's descendants would be blessed, and that God would be God to them, and that they would be his people, his chosen possession. That God would bring Isaac's descendants into the land of Canaan, the promised land. So all these promises were given through Isaac. But then in the book of Hebrews, in the New Testament, we read that Abraham was in the act of offering up that promise. Now, if, you know, Abraham was like you and I, we were like, God, can't you just take the other one? Can't you just take Ishmael? Maybe just we'll just offer him up instead. God, I really like this. I really love this child. And in fact, the Bible even says that Abraham loved Isaac. How many times do we do that with God, though? We're like, God, you can have this part of my life. You can have this part. I give you this. But then God's like, no, I want that thing that you're holding on so dear to. And we're like, God, you want that? How about this? I give you this. God's like, no, I want that. That thing that you've been holding on to, that thing that you love so much, I want that. So realize this was an extreme test for Abraham. This was an extreme test. And so we want to go back to the actual original account of this in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verse 1 through 8. And we're going to get a few more details about this. Looking at it in verse 1, it says, "And after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am." Now, this may boggle our minds. Because what the first few words, what does it say? God tested Abraham. It didn't say the devil tested him. It didn't say the devil tempted him. It said God tested Abraham. And we have our flesh, it rubs us the wrong way. How can God, a loving God, allow such a thing to happen in Abraham's life? Maybe you've asked that same question. How could God allow this to happen in my life? How could God allow this or this or this to happen to me? And isn't he a God of love? Isn't he want the best for us? Didn't he make a promise to Abraham that he was going to fulfill it? How could God ask such a thing from Abraham? To offer up his only son. You know, and that's interesting how it says that, his only son, because he did have another son. But at this point in time, he had gone off with his mother Hagar, and his only son that remained was Isaac, the one whom he loved. And yet God was saying, yep, that's the one I want. That's the son I want you to offer up to me. How difficult that must have been. You know, if you guys are fathers or mothers, you know, it's like you love your kids. I mean, they're like your source of life. And God's like, yep, that's what I want. Now, we only ask such questions like, how could God allow this to happen whenever we are thinking carnally? But if we're thinking according to the Spirit, we understand that God has a plan in all this. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 5 through 8 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." And so if Abraham were to only look at it from a carnal perspective, an earthly perspective, he only sees the sacrifice. He only sees, how can God allow me to do this? But if he's seeing it from the Spirit, if he's seeing then he must know that God is a God and he is faithful to his promises. And though he slays Isaac and though Isaac must die, Abraham still believes that somehow, some way, God will raise his son from the dead. He believes in the promises of God because that's what it means to be spiritually minded. I know that I'm going through a difficult time right now. I know I don't see the end of it. I know what the doctor said, but I'm believing. I'm standing on the word of God. I'm putting my faith in the promises of God. And it may not look like it right now, but I'm going to stand firm in his promises. If he said it, it's going to happen. Amen. He is not man where he can lie. He is God. Amen. Amen. The other thing that we see in this, in Genesis, is that Abraham immediately recognized the voice of God. He says, "Here I am." You know, this kind of reminds me of Mary. You know, whenever the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and said, "Look, you're gonna give birth to a son," and she's like, "How's that even possible? You know, I'm a virgin, right?" And so, no, you're going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you shall give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And what did Mary say at that very moment? She says, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." So you see the similar type of posture that Abraham has. "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord." And I believe that's a good place to start as believers. "Here I am, Lord. What do you want to do with me? How do you want to use me? How do you want me to impact my world around me? I know you called me for more than just warming a pew. Here I am, Lord." And this is when it gets real in Genesis. God said to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Now, we must understand something about God, about the nature of God. God does not delight in human sacrifices, okay? And so this was all a test. This was all a test all along. This was to test Abraham's faith. We see several passages throughout the Old Testament that talk against such sacrifices. In fact, whenever it came time for God to judge the Israelites, whenever they were carried off to the land of Babylon, it was because they were sacrificing their sons and their daughters to the god Molech. And God said, "It never even came a thought in my mind to do such a thing, but yet you have done this." And so judgment came upon Israel. This would be many years after Abraham. And so understand that God was just testing Abraham. He was in a test. But what at that moment, God had asked Abraham to do something that he had asked no one else before, and it sounded so impossible. Has God ever put something that is so impossible before you? Like, "God, how can I do that?" And sometimes he gets us to that place where, yeah, you're facing an impossibility, but he's wanting you to step out in faith and believe that he is the God who is able. Amen? Whatever that impossibility may be, he'll bring you to that place. And he will say, "All right, now, will you trust me? Do you trust that he is a good God? Do you trust that he has your best interests? Do you trust that he is a loving God and that even if Abraham had to kill his son Isaac, that somehow, some way, this promise that he gave me is still going to be fulfilled?" He's that good of a God, amen, that we can stand on his word. So part of Abraham's testing was that he had to go to a place, he had to leave the place where he was, and he had to travel to the land of Moriah. And in the land of Moriah, there were mountains. Any mountain people in the place? My wife's a mountain person. She loves the mountains. I'm like, I love the beach. She loves the mountains. So you can see the conflict, all right? But so he was to go to this land of Moriah. And interesting enough, the name Moriah means chosen by Jehovah. Chosen by Jehovah. And so he was to go to this place called Moriah. It was to be on the top of a mountain. Now, this very same mountain would actually be the place where Solomon would make his temple. like years later, years down the road. Solomon's temple would actually be at the very place where Abraham was to offer up Isaac. And so he is to leave Moriah, and he is to leave where he was and travel to Moriah, which was approximately a 3 days journey, about 45 miles, traveling on a donkey. All right, I never traveled by donkey that long, but I would imagine it takes quite some time. In the scriptures, we see it took him about 3 days to reach about 45 miles. Now, another interesting thing about the land of Moriah, the rabbis had, you know, several interpretations of the name Moriah, and one of these interpretations meant the teaching place. And how fitting, because this would be a place where God would teach him a very, very important lesson about obedience and about faithfulness. Amen. So just a couple of little things about the land of Moriah. In verse 3, it says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac." He didn't hesitate. He had to be intentional about this. This was, again, 45 miles away. So if you went to Lafayette over the past weekend, that was about 45 miles, maybe a little bit more, probably a lot more. Anyway, so you had to pack, you had to prepare, you had to get yourself ready. And so did Abraham. He had to pack his food. He had to pack his clothes. He had to be very intentional about what God had asked him to do. And the whole time, the whole three-day journey, he's thinking, "I'm about to sacrifice my son." And so this is a process for him. This doesn't just happen like that. So he's thinking about this for three whole days. And then he says, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to a place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. If you've ever driven through the mountains, you realize you can see them way before you reach them, right? You can see them in the distance. You can see the Smoky Mountains or whatever mountain range that you're looking at. You can see them way before you actually reach them. And so as a reminder to Abraham, you're getting close. You're getting close to the place where God had asked you to go. You're getting close to the place of sacrificing your son. So in verse 5, he says, "Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you.'" Now, this is phenomenal, because Abraham, he's still holding on to the promises of God. Look what he tells his servants. He says, "Look, me and the boy are going over there to worship. We will return." In other words, I'm still believing that God's going to make a way. Somehow, some way, God's going to make a way. I don't see it right now, but we will return. We're going to worship, but we're coming back. In his mind, he's like, "I don't know. I don't see it. But I know what God said. I know he said that he's going to bless me, and he's going to bless me through Isaac. But I also know that he just called me to offer up him as a sacrifice. I don't see it, but I'm going to declare to you with my mouth what I believe in my heart." And a lot of times faith is that, making a declaration with your mouth, even though you don't see it, that it will be so. Amen? That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you begin to declare it with your mouth. "As for my body, I will be healed. By his stripes, I am healed." And you begin to declare it with your mouth. And so Abraham declares these things to his servants and says, "We're coming back. We're just going to worship God. God will provide. God will raise up my boy if that's what it comes to. We're coming back." And then he says in verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, 'My father.'" How his heart must have melted at that moment. "My father." In other words, you've always been my protector. You've always been the one I can go to. You've always been the one who gives me advice. You've always been a shepherd to me. You've always been pouring God's word into me, teaching me about God, my father. And Abraham in his mind is like, I'm not even worthy of that title. I'm about to kill you. I'm about to murder you. I'm about to take you out. I'm about to offer you up to the Lord. I'm not even worthy to bear this title, Father, because I'm not about to act in love for what God has called me to do. But yet he says, my Father. And then Abraham said to him, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? This also tells me that Isaac went along with him for several other times. This was not Isaac's first go around as far as sacrifices went. That Abraham did his job in teaching Isaac about sacrificing to the Lord, because he knew that you needed wood. He knew that you needed fire. He knew that you needed a lamb. And so how, just a side note, how important it is for us as parents, like Lynn was saying, to teach our children the ways of God, because they're not going to hear it in schools and they're not going to hear it among their peers. But it's your job as a parent to teach them the ways of the Lord. Isaac is looking at everything. He sees all of the elements there except for the lamb. And look what Abraham tells his son. He says, Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so they both of them went together. This is in the very middle of his trial, in the very middle of his testing. He took the first necessary steps. He obeyed God. He went to the land of Moriah. Now he's getting really close, where he has the elements, and where he's about to offer up his son. And his son asked him, where's the lamb? And so you can see how he's really committed and he's really getting closer to this. And Abraham said, God's going to provide. God's going to provide himself a lamb. Still holding on to faith, still encouraging himself in the faithfulness of God. How many of you guys know that this is necessary at times to encourage yourself in the Lord, to encourage yourself in the faithfulness of God? Whenever David did the same thing, whenever he found himself at Ziklag, and everything had been burned. All his wives had been taken away. Everything had been gone. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, encouraged himself in the faithfulness of God. You at times will have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You might not have felt like coming to church on Sunday, but you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Say, I need to be in the house of the Lord. I need to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to get up. Yeah, I'm going to get myself out of bed. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. Maybe you're in a season where you're down, you're out. You must encourage yourself in the Lord. You can't stay there. You can't stay in that place of pity. You have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Get out of that place. Get out of that place of self-pity and feeling sorry for yourself and encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. So Abraham, he begins to do this. He says, God's going to be faithful. He's going to provide himself a lamb. He's going to do it, son. I'm not sure how he's going to do it, but he will provide. So he's speaking faith, and his son Isaac is seeing this, all right? And so as of right now, Isaac does not know that he's going to be the sacrifice. It's going to be revealed very shortly. But Abraham is teaching his son to trust in God, to trust in the faithfulness of God. He says, God's going to provide. And then it says in verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar. So far, everything looks good, looks normal. Built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, all of a sudden, it has become very clear to Isaac who the sacrifice would be. It was him. He was a young man. He had his whole life ahead of him. But yet, it was about to come to an end very soon. And so he's like, well, nowhere do you see him struggling against his father. Nowhere do you see him running off. He just willingly, just as Jesus, this is such a picture of Jesus, how Jesus willingly laid down his life as a sacrifice for our sins. Isaac was willing to be laid on that altar as a sacrifice for worship unto God. This is such a, the whole entire story is a picture of Jesus and what he's done. We're going to uncover that some more. But it says, when they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Verse 10. Then Abraham reached out his hand. He took the knife to slaughter his son. He, in the book of Hebrews, it says that he was in the act of offering. He was in the act. He was fully committed. Like there was nothing stopping him. He was about to do it. He had fully committed to it. Are we willing to fully commit to what God has called us to do? Are we willing to fully commit to the testings? To, you know, whatever testing that you're going through right now, are you fully committed? Lord, I know you've called me here. I know you called me in this place to do this thing. I am fully committed to you. Takes the knife. He was in the act of offering. And then all of a sudden, verse 11 says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. You have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham had passed the test. God's plan was never to kill Isaac. God's plan was to test Abraham's faith to see if he'd be willing to let go of that which was so precious to him in order to please the Father. Let's flip that question on us. Are we willing to let go of that thing that is so dear to us in order to live a life that is pleasing unto him? Are we willing to do that? Maybe the Lord would ask you to lay aside or part ways with certain friends, certain people who are dragging you down. Maybe he'll ask you to leave possessions behind. He has done that with us. Careers, he has done that with us. Maybe he would ask you to be in the hard places of life. He might call you to missions overseas. Will you be willing to lay it all down and say, all right, God, here I am to follow you? Or are we like, God, you could take Ishmael instead. Take Ishmael. You know, I'm not really that fond of him, but you know, God, not that. Not that. Verse 13 says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on Mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Amen. 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 Don't you know that God, in the middle of your testing, that you hold on to your faith, you hold on to the promises of God, and that he will bring it about? Because his faith was tested, God was able to trust him. Amen. Because Abraham, he went through the ringer, God said, I can trust you now with a blessing. You know, we often have it backwards. We want God to bless us. God bless my mess. Bless my mess. The mess that I've created, God bless it. God's like, no, let go of that. Let go of this. Part ways with that. And then I'm going to bless you. Right? But we have it backwards. And the Lord says, are you willing to trust me with that? Are you willing to put it in my hands? Do you value me more than you value that? Is the real question. It's a real test of our heart to see, who do we love more? Abraham, he loved God more. And because he did, God made him a father of many nations. God blessed him. He gave him Isaac. And after Isaac, he gave him kids and more kids and grandkids that you can't even count. Right? He says, as numerous as the stars are in the heaven, if you could count them, you can count your kids. As numerous as the sands are on the seashore, if you could count them, you can count your kids. That's a lot of kids. That's a lot. But, you know, often in the testings, we're like, we can have either a carnal mind, where we begin to blame God, God, why you allow this to happen? Or we can have a mind that thinks of the spiritual things and says, God, I don't understand it all, but I'm willing to trust you. I'm willing to put my faith in you. I know I'm being tested right now, but I'm willing to put my faith in you. I know that you're going to see me through. I know that you're going to see me on the other side of this test. You know, the Bible says, you know, we think that we have to give up so much whenever we come to Christ, but we don't realize what we gain by having Christ. We gain everything by having Christ. He is everything. He is love. He is joy. He is everything that you can possibly need or desire in your life. It is found in Christ. Amen. Matthew 19, 29 says this, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Amen. The blessings far outweigh whatever testings that you're going through right now. There is a blessing on the other side. I believe that. I truly believe that. But the blessing, you might not see it in this lifetime. It might be the next. But that doesn't matter. Will you be faithful? Will God say the same thing about you as he says about Abraham? Well done, good and faithful servant. So maybe you're tested with a difficult task. Maybe God has asked you to do something that seems impossible. Are you willing to step out? Are you willing to believe him this morning? Maybe he's getting you to, asking you to take a huge step of faith. Maybe a different direction in your life, change things up, and you're not really sure about the details of it or how it's going to work. Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to take that step of faith? You know, Abraham had to take the step. He had to go towards Moriah. He couldn't just sacrifice it where he was in Beersheba. He had to go to Moriah. Maybe the Lord is calling you saying, look, this is where I'm wanting you to go. This is the actual place that I have for you. Are you willing to do it this morning? Perhaps you suffered a loss that doesn't even make sense in your life. Maybe you lost a career, you lost resources, you lost family. It doesn't even make sense. It's a test. How will you respond in this test? So many people try to blame God. God, why you allow this to happen? No, that's a carnal way of thinking. I'm going to think spiritually. God, I know that you are behind this. I know that you are in charge. Just as you allowed the temptation, you allowed the testing in Abraham's faith. You might have allowed this in my life, but you're going to see me through it. You're going to see me on the other side of it. God, I trust you because you are good. I trust you because you never fail. You are faithful yesterday, and you will be faithful tomorrow, and you will be always faithful. You remain faithful. Amen. I'm going to stand in the promises of God's word. If he said it, then I believe it, and there's no one else who can take that away from me. He is faithful. Maybe there's some prolonged pain that you've been experiencing, whether it's pain spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever it may be, and you're saying, God, why are you not taking this pain away? I still feel the pain. You're in this test. It's a test. It's a test. Will you trust him? In the middle of the test, will you trust him? We say, all right, God, I don't understand it, but I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Perhaps yours is like mine, and you just have to pick up your cross and die daily. Sometimes that's a difficult test. Working here, it's difficult. It's a difficult, we deal with, you know, not necessarily you guys, but, you know, like some of, you know. Sometimes it's difficult. It's a difficult test. And we, every single day, we have to pick up our cross and follow after Jesus. And sometimes that's a test. I'm like, God, I don't know. But I have to be like Abraham, say, God, I know that you know. I'm just obeying what you call me to do. This is what you call me to do, Lord. I'm going to be faithful to it. I'm going to commit to it. I'm going to, in the act of it, I'm going to follow through with it. Whatever it is that you've called me to do, Lord, here I am. Can we say that like Abraham? Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Whatever it is that you want me to do, here I am. God, I embrace my cross. I embrace my pain. I embrace my suffering. I embrace it because I know at the end of it all, I win because Jesus has already won. He has already won, amen. Pick up your cross and follow after Jesus. So a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. But a faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. Amen. You might be in the middle of a test this morning. Just know that it's a test. It's not forever. It's not like you're going to remain in this season of testing. It's a test. Will you be found faithful? Will you be willing to obey God? Will you be willing to say, okay, God, here I am? It's not always fun. It's not always the easiest thing to do. But man, God is such a good God. And you cannot outgive God. You know, whenever you start to walk in obedience to Him and what He's asked you to do, I mean, He will bless you and He will multiply you just as He did with Abraham. But more than the blessings, having Christ, gaining Christ, gaining Him, having eternal life with Him forever and ever and ever, there's nothing that can compare with that. Amen? Amen. I hope that you are encouraged this morning, that in the midst of your test, whatever it is that you're going through right now, that you'll learn to have faith like Abraham. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, Your Word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light to our path. Lord, it is Your Word encourages us to keep on going, to keep on trusting in You, even whenever it doesn't make sense. Sometimes, God, You may ask us things of our life that doesn't make sense, but Lord, if we're willing to trust You, if we're willing to put our faith in You, if we're willing to step out, to take that first step, Lord, we know that You will catch us. We know that, Lord, that You will meet with us, that You will see us through it. So Lord, today we say we put our faith in You. We put our trust in You. We say, here we are, Lord. Here I am, O Lord. Here I am, Lord. Use me, O God. Use me. Hopefully that's your prayer this morning. And Lord, we know that we will find, just as Abraham found, that You are the God who provides. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So Lord, we will not lack. There's nothing that we will lack whenever we encounter You. Whenever we have You, God, we have everything. So Lord, I pray that Your people are encouraged this morning in the midst of their testing, just to trust You. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank You, and we give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
May you go out the doors and walk with a faithful God, full of faith in the name of Jesus. We'll see you next Sunday at 10 o'clock.